Any questions from the viewers?
The fresh question from Rajeshwari Didi from Brazil, and he said, Dandavat pranams, if it is possible, can...
Is it possible or it is possible?
Oh, okay, the question is can Maharaj talk about what is sincerity and how we can get this in our hearts, sincerity?
Well, what comes to mind is Srila Guru Maharaj defining sincerity as appreciation for the truth. And that sounds very simple, and it is, and it's also profound, because people can be sincere about so many things. Right? Like Guru Maharaj has mentioned, you know, the mafia, they have some code that they follow, right? So you can be a sincere member of that group, a sincere member of somebody. So that can't be real sincerity when it's applied to something less than the divine. So here, we use this term frequently. We're qualifying it as appreciation for the truth, and the truth, not some just abstract sense, but you know, the truth is a person. Krishna is the supreme absolute truth, and as Srila Saraswati Thakur reminds us, not Krishna alone. Radha and Krishna constitute the supreme absolute truth. So then we could, if we go full circle, then we could say appreciation for them, Krishna and Karshna. And within this, it'll answer so many questions. And sometimes neophyte devotees, aspiring devotees, they'll wonder about what about other religious traditions or other theistic conceptions about divinity. And in a mood of generosity, we can give some recognition to them on the basis of this principle, appreciation for the truth. How, and then they'll be judged, their merit, their substance, on how, if we know that ultimately the supreme truth is Radha and Krishna, Guru Gauranga Radha Govinda, then the degree or level of truth that's present or represented in another theistic system, we have a system for measuring that. We like the example Rupa Goswami is given, and Kaviraj Goswami is quoting that in Chaitanya Charitamritam, that when he's trying to make a particular point about the exclusiveness of Krishna conception. Skromar said, all the goal is the most exclusive, the means is all-inclusive. Sarvadbhuta chamatkara lilakalo labaradi atulya madura prema mandita priyamandala tri jagan manasa karshi Murali Kalaku Jita Asan Manordva Rupa Sri Bhishmapidam Characha. What is unique about Krishna? It says Asa Asamordva, means no one is equal in beauty and sweetness and charm to Krishna. So to give an extreme example, Rupa Goswami tells of when Krishna's hiding from the Braja Gopis, and they see him from a distance. He's hidden in some kunja, but they can see him, so they start approaching him. And Krishna wants to tease them, play a trick on them. So when they arrive, he pushes out two more arms. And they are disappointed to discover that it is whom they thought was Krishna is not Krishna, but rather Narayan of Vaikuntha. And they cannot conceal their disappointment. Raga udaya kunchati. The udaya, it's crushed. They're crushed to find that it's not Krishna. So, then we will say, if we push this to the extreme, that really, in its highest, deepest, far-reaching expression, it must be appreciation for this truth, Krishna conception. When Guru Maharaj would give Harinam, and it's going to be quiet, give Harinam and explain the 10 offenses from the Padma Purana, when he would talk about scriptures, the aparad relating to, you know, revealed truth, Guru Maharaj would say, those scriptures dealing with the divinity of Krishna, particularly, right? Not to dismiss the others summarily, but he underscored this point. Those scriptures that deal primarily with the divinity of Krishna, it's getting very specific about it. So, you know, there's the general idea, appreciation for the truth, and then the gradation afterwards. Bahunam janmanam ante jnanavan mam prapadyate vasudeva sarvamiti samahatma sudurlabha. And it's mentioned in Bhagavad Gita that samahatma sudurlabha, it's very rare that someone, such a mahatma, such a great soul, is very rare, who comes at a point of understanding what? Vasudev sarvamiti. This is, in Guru Maharaj's words, the first personal expression of divinity crossing out of the saguna world, approaching the nirguna plane. But it's not the Vaikuntha world proper, because no mention of Lakshmi Devi, this Vasudev Krishna. Then we will begin with Lakshmi Narayan. And then, in honor today, Sitaram of Ayodhya. Why the celebration is there, Deepavali. There's a very beautiful video of Srila Gurudev in Lakhta. And like 2006, I think. And he's telling about this day. And he says first how he heard so many devoted souls are in the temple. His divine personality is on full display here and all its sweetness. And he's just oozing love and affection for everyone. And he said, I heard so many devoted souls have assembled here, and I cannot remain in a cage. Immediately, in one sentence, he's like, captured everyone, praised them, and also made them feel something for him. I can't remain in a cage. and then he says that, and of course, Gurudev always speaks in a comprehensive way. This day is celebrated all over India and the world. You can be sure at every Indian embassy. If you go to the Indian embassy here, if there is one, or in Bangkok, they'll have little candles there somewhere. I guarantee it. You know, anywhere in the world. And they'll tell Diwali. And for some, this is the beginning of the year. You know, why not? You know, we're celebrating at different times. But the different people will say different things about the significance of this day. But as Gurudev said, Deepavali in Sanskrit, Diwali is a, what do you say? I mean, based upon original Sanskrit. Deep means light, like our friend Sandeep. I always call him the light of Delhi. Sandeep, where we put the five ghee wicks called Panch Pradeep. Five, Panch Pradeep. Right, so deep always means that. Deepa dupa naivedya aroti. Right? We sing that every day. Deep means offering the light. Dupe, type of incense. Naivedya, different offerings. So, this day is celebrating when, after such a long time, after the kidnapping of Sita Devi, that Ramachandra, he's killed Ravana, they've rescued Sita Devi, and they're going to return to Ayodhya. Ram and Lakshman and Ayodhya are Bharat, Shatrughna. So, to receive Ramachandra, Gurudev says, everyone in Ayodhya is offering a light, but like means like this. You can call it 6-8 inches. Every 6 or 8 inches, there's a candle. Some sort of lamp. But these are from the denizens of Ayodhya, who are all exalted souls. There's so much light. Ramachandra's coming back on a Pushparatha, a flowered chariot airplane with his divine paraphernalia. But the light is so great from Ayodhya, we're told, it's shining to Indraloka. Right? That bright. And Gurudev sounds like, in Indraloka, they are fearful to see. So much light is coming that it shined to Indraloka. Very beautifully expressed there. So, and everyone is so happy upon the return of Ramachandra. And we place so much emphasis on viraha, separation, as mining a greater depth of heart and yielding a superior type of love, loving substance. And we see here, whatever it finds its culmination in the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. But the Ramayana is heartbreaking, right? In many different ways. Guru Maharaj liked to quote, is that Shelley or Wordsworth? One of the English poets said, "Our sweetest songs are those that tell the saddest thought." Even in love ballads, they're what are called torch songs. And the heart is on fire, breaking and separation, expressing something. Those are the songs that capture people. The good time music is just like muzak, what do you call it? Like a sound, huh?
Elevator music.
Elevator music. That's what it is. It's not called music. The people who made it, they call it Muzak. It's something they created. They marketed it and put this on your elevator or on your answering service or whatever it is. So or the soundtrack kind of thing. But these torch songs from the heart, heartbreaking love songs, they can actually kill people. When a friend of mine and I, we were interested at one point in developing ourselves musically in India, and we were, as many famous Bollywood people come to the Bombay Juhu Beach Center. So actually one of the biggest songwriters, and appropriately named, his name was Jayadev. Like Jayadev Goswami, but Jayadev was his name. And he's writing songs, and we met with him. He had us sing a few things, my friend and I, and he said, oh, you know, you could be trained. But he thought we sort of didn't get it, you know. And then he had some cassettes of not Bollywood music, but private things where he's playing and these famous singers are singing. He said, listen to this. And we're very impressed by the songs that we heard. And then he said that there are instances in Indian performance where the singer, they're singing love songs, and the people in the audience, sometimes older people, would be so moved by the singers, they'd have a heart attack and drop dead during the performance. Top that. They would drop dead during the performance. They were so heartbroken. That's a song. That's a real song. The other day, when we're observing the disappearance of Narottam Thakur, saying, Yeani lo prima dana koruna prachur, we're told, perhaps it was Bhaktisiddhanta Babaji Maharaj in Vrindavan, someone was saying this song. I remember Gurudev, when he's listening always to the kirtan in the Nath Mandir, and he said on this one day, which was not a disappearance day, he said, why are they singing Viraha Giti? That's a particular melody. We're told, there, we know, there's the morning tune. There are different tunes here for different songs and that are appropriate. So everybody should try and learn them. They're actually pretty simple. I listen. For the most part, everyone's doing a good job. But try and listen carefully to those melodies. Anyway, we know the Viraha Giti. Yeyani la prema dana koruna prachu. That's Viraha Giti. So someone singing that to some song, but not on that day. Gurudev said, why are these, it's inappropriate. So in the inverse, someone was singing this song for the Viraha Giti, the song for prayer of departed Vaishnavas, Acharya and the great Vaishnavas, but singing in some like happy style. You know, said Bhaktisiddhanta Babaji Maharaj said, if you had any feeling at all for what is the content of this song, what is being expressed, you couldn't possibly sing like that. So the fact that you sing it that way means you have no idea what you're singing. And not only no idea, no feeling for that. It would not be possible. Right? Mahaprabhu, we're told in the pages of Chaitanya Charitamritam, the depth of his feeling, his ecstasy is so great, he cannot say the name Jagannath. It's abruptly abbreviated. He can't say the whole name of Jagannath. When we talk about Krishneti Varnadvayi, saying one name of Krishna, two syllables, Krishna. Right? Jagannath, he could not say the whole name. That's how much moved he was. So Guru Maharaj would go, the sweetest songs are those that tell the saddest thought. Bahe Vishajalahoy Bitare Anandamoy Krishna Premier Premier Adbhuta Charit Pida Bir Navakalakuta Katuta Garbhasya Nirvasano. Mentioned by Kaviraj Goswami and quoting Rupa Goswami, the Adbhuta Charit, the astonishing characteristic of Krishna Prem is this contradictory position. Although what, that the heart is on fire as if it's being burned by being full of poison. Externally, it appears that the devotee is suffering like anything. Internally, they're relishing some incomparable ecstatic joy. So the Ramayana takes us in the direction deeply of these sentiments. It's very hard to digest these pastimes. But how Ramachandra is dealing with Sita but to this day, it has a hold on like the heart, mind, and soul of anyone who hears these pastimes. And it takes the heart into a deeper zone of feeling and consideration than your typical, you know, happy ending, Hollywood ending. That ultimately, I mean, there is. Ultimately, after they return and all these heartbreaking pastimes take place, they do go on the flower chariot. Ramachandra takes the whole of Ayodhya back to the original in the spiritual world. But before that, look, what to speak of what happens later, when Mahaprabhu is traveling in South India, he meets one Ram Bhakta whose heart is broken just at the thought that Ramachandra could kidnap Sita. What to speak of everything that happens after that? He cannot digest this. So what sort of devotion he has. He knows it's in the scriptures. He knows these are divine pastimes. Still, something inside of him cannot accept this. And Mahaprabhu, what does he find in the Kurma Purana? That's where the Kurma Purana reveals that actually, by divine power of Yoga Maya, a Maya Sita is generated. Right? Just as Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur points out, to deal with different problems that arise when considering the pastimes of Krishna and the Braja Gopis. In some instances, Yoga Maya is manifesting, say, duplicate forms of the gopis to be at home. While the actual gopis are with Krishna, some other form, duplicate representation of them remains with their families. And then they become absorbed. It's very complex and interesting to how all these things happen. So in this instance, and Guru Maharaj summarized it by saying, Ravana, just for the Nam Rupa Guna Leela of Krishna, Vaikuntha Nama Grahanam, it has to have a spiritual quality or characteristic, otherwise it's something mundane. So Guru Maharaj makes the point that Ramachandra, he he can't see the form of Sita, what to speak of touch her. And he has no such capacity. She's Chinmoy. Right? So all he can see or observe is a mundane representation of her. So that Maya Sita is taken to Ayodhya. I mean, to Sri Lanka. And so Mahaprabhu, this is interesting as well. He takes that page from the Kurma Purana and delivers it to that Brahmin to bring some relief to his heart. Right. Anyway, this is the joyous occasion part, the killing of Ravana and the return of Ramachandra and Sita and their entourage to Ayodhya. It's also mentioned by Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur, his commentaries on the 10th canto. This is the day that the pastime of Damodar took place, of Mother Yasoda binding Krishna. He says it took place on the Deepavali. That means today. So, from any way we look at it, it's very auspicious, very wonderful. What does it say? Namam Ishvaram Sachidananda Rupam Lasat Kundalam Gokule Brajamanam Yashoda Biolukala Davamanam Paramrishtam Atyantato Drutya Gopya. That Krishna, he's trying to run away from Yashoda. Right. Kunti says, Gopyadade toikutaga sitamatavad yate dushashu kalilanjana sambramaksham. That she's meditating on this pastime. That I remember. Why? It began with Mother Yashoda cooking milk. One thing important to understand is this is Krishna's favorite food. Sometimes when Janardhan Maharaj and I were taking prasadam together and SoCal and eating very, like he was steaming some, there was this period where he's doing that, and that was just a little too little for me. So he'd give me the same thing, but for my steamed vegetables, I would have a little, like a quarter stick of butter. And he would say, "What is that?" And I would say, "Krishna food." I'd say, "With mine, I'm going to have some Krishna food." I didn't say it was butter. I just said, "Krishna food." He said, "Oh, I can't eat Krishna food now because of my condition." But he did remind the devotees there that he's Govinda, not Soyvinda. Govinda, not Soyvinda. So Krishna, we know, Go Brahmana Hitaya Cha, Namo Brahmana Devaya, Go Brahmana Hitaya Cha, Jagadhitaya Krishnaya, Govindaya, Namo Namaha. It's impossible to think of Krishna without cows. Right? And cow, guess what? His favorite food is, where it comes from. It's produced by cows. He's a cowherd. Nanda Maharaj, Yashoda, they're milking cows. All their wealth comes from the cows. They barter yogurt, ghee, butter for other things. But their exclusive wealth comes from the cows. And just as they moved to Vrindavan for the cows, Govardhan puja, that's for the cows. What's Govardhan? Pani asuya vasakandara kanda mule. Has very sweet grasses, right? On the Govardhan. So Govardhan, Vrindavan, these, it's all calculated for cow seva. So the sweetest grass in Vrindavan they've found, then there are cows who eat that sweetest grass. There's a system by which the milk that ultimately is given to Yashoda for Krishna is extraordinary. Described somewhere, Padma Gandago, the cow who's Padma Ganda, the milk has the fragrance of a lotus flower. Just like if bees, and they do, they train them to like take nectar from certain flowers, so you can have jasmine flavored honey or some other type by getting the bees to only take nectar from certain flowers. So this is something very extraordinary. These cows, so the milk that Mother Yashoda has, we can imagine. It's the best milk there is in all time, space, circumstances. Right? This divine chinmoy substance. That's what's on the stove cooking. And Krishna is, Mother Yashoda was churning some butter, and Krishna came over. This is Krishna, like Damodar, I mean, he's at a very young age. He came over and he grabbed the churning rod, so it stopped. And you're sort of saying, oh, my son, he's very intelligent. That was Krishna's way of learning. I want to suck my mother's breast. So he stopped the churning rod. She put him on her lap. Krishna's sucking his mother's breast. Aho bhagyam nanda gopa brajokasam, but another one. Nanda kim akarod brahman sreya eva mahodayam. Nanda kim yashalande param brahma. How Raghupati Upadhyaya is saying how fortunate Nanda Maharaj is to have Krishna calling in. Ahang iha nandam bande. I'm going to worship Nanda Maharaj. He's got Krishna crawling in his courtyard. But in the Bhagavatams, it's mentioned, Nanda kim akarod brahman sreya eva mahodayam yashodava mahabhaga. But even greater fortunate position is that of Yashoda. Papo yasya stanam hari. Krishna's sucking his mother's breast milk. So in that situation, Mother Yashoda notices that very special milk is boiling over. So she puts Krishna down and she goes to attend the milk. And there's something very mystical and devotional and premic about that. How Yashoda, because we could say, well, wait, if Krishna is sitting on your lap, he's sucking her breast milk, then why let the milk boil over? Right? No, but she puts Krishna down and goes to attend that which is for the service of Krishna. So there's something very special there for us to understand about the service of Krishna. And ultimately, Radha Dasyam. Anyway, so that makes Krishna upset. He feels, you know, his ego. Like he's been rejected. So he's angry. And then, you know, he's going to do some mischief. So he goes off, finds some butter, yogurt hanging, breaks the pots. He's feeding butter and yogurt to monkeys, eating some himself. They're having like a party. And Mother Yashoda searching for him. Right? And Viswanath Chakravarti Thakur says that Krishna's now trying to hide from her, but because his feet are covered in butter, they're like butter footprints. Like a trail of butter footprints going in a particular direction. And Krishna's trying to hide. Mother Yashoda comes with a stick or a switch, whatever you want to say. And Krishna starts running. And what Kunti says is, Yate dushashu kalilanjana sambramaksham. The cudgel, the mascara on Krishna's eyes from his crying and fear, it starts running down his lotus face, making him look even more beautiful. And she's thinking, and also, what is it? Yad bibeti svayam bayam? I'm thinking, whom fear personified is afraid of, he's afraid of his mother. Right? That's the beauty of yoga maya. And also we see Krishna's nature. He wants to enter situations where he can forget his divinity. As Guru Maharaj said, he likes to surround himself with ignorant people. Meaning what? Jnana Shunya Bhaktas. Those who, on account of their love and affection, eclipses the Aishwarya Jnana of understanding his majestic divine aspect, so that they can deal with him like an ordinary person. If you think about that, that's what is astonishing. The infinite God, and that the whole world has this other idea about God, and that's why so many people in the modern world are not interested in religion too much. Because they envision God as some kind of egomaniac. Right? Or is just interested in people bowing down to him and worshiping him in various ways like that. Krishna conception comes to give them some relief. It's revealed in Chaitanya Charitamritam. When Krishna is saying, yeah, this is good for everyone. That's good for them. That people have religion, they bow down, they worship God. They're on the path to improvement, liberation, etc. But what does he find appealing? He begins by saying, if someone treats me equally, if they can look beyond the Aishwarya Jnana, the majestic aspect, and think of us as equals, that starts giving Krishna happiness. Said the cowherd boys, if they challenge him to fight, and the loser must carry the winner upon their shoulders. They've told, it's a wonderful thing, Garuda, Vishnu, Krishna, riding on the shoulders of Garuda. That's a wonderful thing, we worship that. But here, Krishna's revealing candidly, if defeated by my devotee, the devotee is on my shoulders, and they're writing me, you don't know how much pleasure, how much happiness that gives to me. Right? So, and shortly after there, the Priya Jari Man, Bartson Sloka, where he says, takes it to another level. He said, in fact, he said, if my beloved, referring to Srimati Radharani, if she's cursing me, she's angry at me and cursing me, that is so sweet, manohara, mind-stealing, that I can't concentrate on the reverential hymns of the Vedas. It steals my mind away from those things. So this is how Krishna plays, what brings joy to him. So Yashoda, she thought for his own benefit to protect him, to stop him from getting into trouble, right? Reality is for itself and by itself. What would Hegel say about that? Right? He can comprehend that reality is for itself and by itself, but he cannot comprehend that that reality, the supreme reality, is beautiful, sweet, and charming, and has a mother who's looking out for the welfare of the supreme reality. That's too much. Muhyanti yatsuraya. Even the gods are bewildered trying to fathom, to digest, to get their heads around it. Brahma to get his four heads around the aprakrita lila of Krishna. Right? How she binds Krishna. And she's thinking, no matter how much rope I use, I'm dwiyangli, two fingers too short. And I don't see his waist getting any bigger. Right? Earlier, when she had looked in his mouth, and she saw the universes, the universal form and all the universes, when she looked in his mouth, she could see down in his abdomen. That's where everything was. You see, now, no matter how much rope I put together, I don't see it getting any bigger, but I'm always short. Then, bound by the prem of Mother Yasoda, her love and affection, he consents to be bound and tied to the grinding mortar. And she thinks, now he's safe. Then what happens? Krishna drags the grinding mortar between two trees, the Jamalarjuna, these two trees, and then pulls the trees down, and two devatas come out. And what are all the inhabitants of Vrindavan thinking? Like, they think that Nanda Maharaj must be incredibly pious, because just about every time something bad is going to happen to his child, the gods protect him. And the elderly gopis are coming, and they're like, they're taking cow dung and putting tilak on Krishna. And they're like, lalate keshavam dayi. There's like, imagine these older gopis around. They've got cow tails, and they're chanting mantras, and they're trying to protect Krishna for the future. If some sadhu comes to the house of Yashoda, she's taking the dust from the feet of the sadhu and putting it on Krishna's head. Like Gurudev said that Pishima, in her final days, Swami Raja's sister, let's say she was in a divine state of madness, he said, she started throwing Ganga Jal on the Vaishnavas. Not something you would normally do. But anyway, so if we could study carefully, we'd say every day this month is some special day, practically. Some of it you can find in Viswanath's commentary in the 10th canto. When he will point out what days certain pastimes took, like this one today, and others, many others, unlimited. Hare Krishna. Any other question? Was there a question? Oh, yeah.
Another question is about the attachment to Vaishnavas, because we are told that Vaishnavas are everything for us, so we are encouraged to develop this attachment.
Yeah.
So is it a general idea to attach to their qualities and the mood, or we can develop the personal relationship like friends and things?
All of the above. It's all possible. I observed Srila Guru Maharaj and Srila Gurudev in their interaction. And after some time, I saw that they were friends. although Guru Maharaj is the Guru, Gurudev was his disciple, I saw, and I even expressed, I said, oh, really, you're more like friends. Because after so many years, what, 30, at that time, 30, 35 years. And Guru Maharaj explained to me, he said, that all those relationships are possible. He said, not the Madhura Rasa, but talking particularly about friend Dasya, Sakya, and Vatsalya. Sakya, the friendship, and Vatsalya, where sometimes even the disciples, their parenting the guru. We saw that with Gurudev. Sometimes his disciples are treating him, caring for him like a child. So, the Vaishnavas are everything to it. That's Guru, but Guru Vaishnava. We're reminded by Srila Guru Maharaj, when the Vaishnavas meet each other, and they say, how are you? As I told before, sometimes when I would ask Mangal Maharaj, how are you? He would say, I don't know. he means like, you know. Or I say, how are you, Maharaj? He goes, I'm okay, I think. because he knows what Guru Maharaj said. The Vaishnavas, when they say, how are you? I forget the Bengali, the bungalow, but they say, as you keep me. They put it back to the Vaishnava. You know how I am. As you are conceiving of me, that is how I am. That's why we have to be very careful in our relationship with the Vaishnavas. Because it's not just a clever repartee, but it's true how they think of it. That's how well we're doing, is how the Vaishnavas think of us, and particularly the higher Vaishnavas. So, by personal inclination or a strategy, we want to serve the Vaishnavas and gain their favor. And what did you say specifically? The gist.
The personal friends and also...
Oh, yes. So, like we've seen, Srila Guru Maharaj, he would describe Krishnadas Babaji Maharaj as a personal friend. His age, Srila Swami Maharaj is a personal friend. So there's that level. But, again, back to Guru Maharaj's words, the inspired side of the Vaishnava's guru, these are exalted devotees, but they can also recognize guru tattva even in their so-called peers. And in that context, accept them as being higher. So Srila Guru Maharaj had so many godbrothers who wanted to stay at the mat to visit him to get his association, including Srila Bhakti Dayata Madhava Maharaj, Srila Bhakti Vichar Jajavar Maharaj, Srila Bhan Maharaj, many, Srila Prabhupada Swami Maharaj. They would come to get Guru Maharaj's association. So they're friends, and they have a friendship. They share certain things, but at the same time, sometimes they're having conversations that are very deep. In the guru zone, guru tattva, vastava vastu, deep conceptions of reality. So we want to see our friends, our godbrothers and godsisters as servitors. We want to think of them as friends, yes, but we don't want to forget that they're first and foremost servitors of the lotus feet of Guru and Gauranga, Radha Govinda. That is their real identity. Same thing with husband and wife, where it may be even more difficult on account of intimacy. But Guru Maharaj reminds that when the husband and wife, if they're called in the service of the deity or in the mat, they're not husband and wife at the mat or in the deity seva. Then they're two servitors. And that's a wonderful thing. And they should see each other, respect one another as being, there's a servitor, sincere servitor of the lotus feet of my Gurudev. Right? Sanatan Goswami is guru of Rupa Goswami. But we say Rup Sanatan, because Rupa Goswami came first, considered to have come first to the lotus feet of Mahaprabhu. And interestingly, Sanatan Goswami, well, he's offering praise to Rupa Goswami and Pratama Slokas of the Brihad Bhagavatamritam, his Tika. And Guru Maharaj says, somewhere Sanatan Goswami describes himself as a Rupanuga. So all of these things are possible. Guru Maharaj once told me, he said, when Sukadeva is speaking in the Bhagavatam, saying in the audience are Vyas, Narada, others, and we can say, particularly with Vyas and Narada, the Bhagavatam's coming down through them. Why are they listening to Sukadev, the boy? Guru Maharaj said, because they're thinking, what new color it will take coming from him. Something new and fresh is going to be expressed. It's not monotonous recitation, cant, recitation of some kind of religious formula. The mantra is not that, neither are the scriptures. But look at the Bhagavatam. Tene Brahma Haridat, Narada to Vyas, 10 slokas. Vyas to Sukadev, I don't know how many. But then Sukadev to Parikit Maharaj, then Suta Goswami to the sages of Naimasharanya. And then all the great Acharya's commentaries, some new light coming. Govinda Viramandira Sirapadam Hastasti Ratnadivat. Balabe Dev Vidibhushan in praise of Rupa Goswami. And Sanatan Goswami says, Govinda is like a jewel in their palm. And they, the way they rotate the jewel, coruscating flashes of brilliance and revelation. Rupa going this way, and something, Sanatan showing another way, and brilliant illumination coming from that way. So we have something to learn from everyone. The famous maxim is familiarity breeds contempt. That we should avoid with our friends, God brothers, God sisters. Always put ourselves in a position of revering them. Then we'll be in a position to receive some grace. And that's hopeful for us. When Babaji Maharaj had some fondness for Sahajiya Kirtan, it was not approved by Guru Maharaj. And once staying at the mat, he was visiting them during this particular festival time, and so Guru Maharaj ousted him from his mat. He threw him out. And so Babaji Maharaj is like going down the road, Bhakti Siddhanta, Saraswati Road, and Mayapur, and one of the mat managers from another mat said, oh, Babaji Maharaj, I thought you were staying at Srila Sridhar Chaitanya Saraswati Mat. And I was, but Srila Sridhar, he ousted me from his mat. And that person went, what? How can you are such an exalted devotee, disciple of Saraswati Thakur? How is that possible? And then he mentioned the reason, attending the Sahajiya Kirtan, and that person said, oh, Sridhar Maharaj is done right. You should be kicked out. Anyway, so after some time, Gurudev and Guru Maharaj are together like they were every day, going over like the mat's activities for the day. And they hear coming down the road, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. There's this unmistakable sound that is Krishnadas Babaji Maharaj. It's coming down, this Maha Mantra sound is coming down the road. And Guru Maharaj sent Gurudev down to the front gate, you know. And he said, there's Krishnadas Babaji Maharaj. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And Gurudev takes him up to Guru Maharaj, and Guru Maharaj said, I ousted you from my mat. Why? Now you return. And Babaji Maharaj said, it is true. You ousted me from your mat. But you didn't say I couldn't come back. And then Guru Maharaj's heart melted. And, all right. Embraced again. That's also possible. Hare Krishna.